You can't write code. You're not an engineer. You're not a designer. You can't put a hammer to a nail. I built the circuit board. So how come 10 times in a day, I read Steve Jobs as a genius? What do?
I play the orchestra.
That's a scene from the 2015 film Steve Jobs, starring Michael Fassbender in the title role and Seth Rogen as his collaborator and business partner Steve Wozniak. This weekend, Steve Jobs' larger-than-life persona will take another turn in the spotlight in front of a very different kind of orchestra.
Communications, entertainment, information, illumination, connection.
That's a little taste of the revolution of Steve Jobs, a brand new opera premiering tonight in Santa Fe. That's right, Steve Jobs' legacy now includes an opera. The show spans nearly five decades of Jobs' life from 1965 until his death in 2011. And in true operatic form, it delves deeply into the tech leader's emotional life through love, loss, anger, and everything in between. Mason Bates is the award-winning composer behind the revolution of Steve Jobs. He's in Santa Fe. Mason, good morning. Welcome to the program.
It's great to be with y'all.
Steve Jobs is not what you might think of as a typical character in an opera. What did you see in his life that made you want to write an opera?
I know what you mean. At first glance, Steve Jobs is a surprising choice for an opera. But when you scratch the surface, he's got obsession. He's got death, his story. He's got love. He's got anger. He's got redemption. We've got all of the pieces that opera can explore so beautifully. The central thing about his life, the central tension between the sleek devices that he created that simplify human communication and the beautiful messiness of life, that's something we all deal with right now. And it hasn't really been explored in opera. And he's the perfect vehicle to discuss these topics.
A lot of authors have found the same thing. They've written multiple biographies. What do you think this opera will reveal that those other works haven't?
Well, you know, those are documentaries that are really exploring the kind of more kind of nuts and bolts about a life, including all the products. Even in a film, you know, it's kind of deceivingly representational. You know, you looking at people who are speaking and acting in a way that's very similar to real life, yet you're collapsing all of that into a two-hour movie that has to heighten all the drama. And opera never makes any bones about being representational. You know, people don't go around singing. So because of that, I think we can explore more poetically the emotional journey of Steve Jobs.
All right, well, let's dig into that emotional life. He was viewed as a very flawed character, maybe lacking empathy, certainly not recognizing his daughter. Some would definitely see that as a flaw. Who is he in this opera? Is he the hero or is he the villain?
He's both. He's both protagonist and antagonist. That's one of the fascinating things about Steve Jobs. He had clearly a kind of autocratic drive that, you know, many people have acknowledged from the way he ran Apple to the way he ran his family. But he also had a Jesus-like charisma. And I do think that's been maybe de-emphasized recently because people focus on the negative end. But this is a man who could convince people of almost anything. And his infectious creativity was able to, you know, withstand the limitations of its time and ultimately, even beyond his death, flower into, you know, this company and these devices have impacted us in such big ways.
Well, opera is also about sound and how you represent all these characters. And you say he had a Jesus-like charisma. So does Jesus sound like a baritone? You cast him as a baritone. Why?
Many times in opera, the tenor is the star. But there are also some very important baritone leads. And they often are more complicated characters. Think of Don Giovanni. He's clearly a seductive, charismatic figure, but he's also kind of a womanizer and a crass human being, and he's a baritone. You think of somebody like Billy Budd from Benjamin Britten's opera, who has both the kind of innocence of youth, but also is eventually kind of brought down by that in the opera. Steve Jobs has the complicated qualities of a baritone. And so that's why I gave him that voice type. Sails are already
through the roof. You are battling complicated characters and a vast time span in this opera. So you're going from 1965 until Steve Jobs' death in 2011. You also are showing a key number of scenes from Jobs' life, including the moment when he learns that his girlfriend at the time is pregnant. What's revealed about Steve Jobs in that moment?
Steve Jobs is working in his garage with Wozniak, his co-conspirator. And Woz shows him this motherboard, and he says, look, I finished it. And Jobs says, that's great. It's so ugly, though. And they say, well, yeah, that's the way it is. And at that moment, Steve Jobs' girlfriend, Cresson, comes in and pulls him aside and says, I'm pregnant. Jobs is not happy to hear this, and in fact, he tells her in no uncertain terms not to go through with it. He returns to the garage and kind of looks at the ugly motherboard and has this idea. He says, we should cover it up. We should cover it up with a beautiful box. And instantly, he's launched into this aria about how these devices can be something we play, like an instrument. And so right there, you see, he goes from this reflexive, controlling impulse to cover up the messiness of life with a beautiful box. And then he fixates on the box and how the design and the interface can be a beautiful thing. So he goes all the way from the negative side to the positive side in about 5 minutes, and we can see how the beauty and the controlling are kind of all wrapped up in the same package.
There's a quote from Steve Jobs that comes up around your opera, and he says, everyone has the sense that right now we are influencing the future. Do you think your opera is expanding what's possible in this world?
Well, I can say that there are elements of this opera that I have not experienced in an opera house, and I'm excited to see how they play out. One thing is just the topic, I mean, how we connect to each other and what these devices are doing to our communication. But beyond that, the actual storytelling has many new elements. The kind of pixelated quality of the libretto, it's nonlinear. We are jumping around through time, and like any single pixel, any single scene is not going to tell you much, but when they light up next to each other, that's when a story and an image becomes animated. The music has a very broad electroacoustic sound world. So we're going to hear all kinds of sounds, some of which are made from actual Macintosh gear, you know, actual sounds of the Macs. So I think the storytelling element is mining what's in the story, the actual content of the piece, to try to push opera in a new direction. You got to remember that opera's always been connected to technology, you know, I mean, pyrotechnics, stagecraft, these kinds of things have always been pushed ahead in opera. And I look forward to seeing how the medium will develop in the 21st century.
All right, Mason, thank you so much. But before I let you go, I need some full disclosure here.
Yeah.
Are you an Apple fan?
I am. You know, I mean, I've been playing electronic music with orchestra for like 15 years, and Macs have been by my side, and they will have two of them in the pit of the orchestra. It's a little bit meta to be working on a piece about a man whose devices are making it happen, and the sounds of his devices are actually in the opera. And I think in a way that reminds us all on the creative team that the person we're dealing with has had an impact that is felt by every person on the planet, or very many of them. So, yeah, I am a Mac fan. Sometimes I rage at them like everybody else, though.
Rage at the machine. Thanks so much, Mason.
Okay, cool. Great to talk to you.
Mason Bates is the award-winning composer behind The Revolution of Steve Jobs, the opera's world premiere tonight in Santa Fe.